Morning, church. I just want to thank the team for stretching us and giving us new expression in song. That song, Andy, was quite powerful. And it was actually a bit of a little emotional experience for me up there, because too often I come to God with my agenda and in my quiet time, even just to be there and just want Him. Very, very challenging. And I just love the fact that together we can confess that to God as we sing. And yeah. Well, last week we started this series, How We Can Live in a Fearless Way, by learning to trust God and trusting Him for breakthrough in many areas in our life and in our church. We learned that faith is trusting the triune God with my entire life. That is to really lean into Him, to trust Him. I like the word trust more than faith sometimes, because faith loses its power just because we use it so much. But when I think about, do I actually trust God, it helps me to really contemplate that more. I trust God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, every person within the divine Trinity, and with my entire life. We learned that we're supposed to trust Him with our entire life, not just a little segment of our time on a Sunday morning. We don't just entrust Him with our spiritual life. I love what Dallas Willard taught John Ortberg, and that was this. He said, Jesus does not care about your spiritual life. He cares about your life. You see, we so compartmentalize everything. And our spiritual life is what gives frame and fuel and perspective to our entire life. Jesus cares about our life, so we respond to Him our entire life in responsive obedience. Trusting God shows itself in action, in obedience, as we respond to who He is in His wonderful character, what He does, what He's done in the past, what He continues to do and what He will do, and also what He says in His holy word and through His Holy Spirit. So we are learning together. Now this morning, and again by way of introduction, I wanted to bring to our attention one thing. And using, for example, say the New International Version, did you know there's only two times in the Scripture, in the New Testament, where Jesus, it says that Jesus was amazed. Two times. And you know what's fascinating? Both of those times was in the context of Jesus talking about people's faith, where He was absolutely amazed. The first one we read about in the book of Matthew, in chapter 5, verses 8 to 13. I'm not going to read the story this morning, but just to reference it. There is a Roman centurion who approaches Jesus. He's a soldier, a leader in the army, in the Roman army, and he comes to Jesus and he says that he has a servant back at his place who is paralyzed and who's suffering tremendously. And he asks Jesus if He would heal him. And so Jesus says, okay, I'll come and do that. And He says, no, no, no. I'm a man under authority. I get it. People tell me, and I jump. I tell people, they go. I get authority. All you have to do is say the word. And Jesus is utterly blown away at this guy's spiritual understanding, his understanding of authority, his understanding of who Jesus is. And he says, you know, go, he's healed. And Jesus comments about that, and He says that He was amazed at his great faith. So in the first instance, Jesus is amazed. It's a very incredible illustration. He praised this soldier for his spiritual sort of perception and understanding of who Jesus was. Sometimes our lack of faith is revealed in questioning the greatness of Jesus. Now, Jesus was amazed with this guy because he wasn't actually expecting such faith from someone who wasn't even a fellow Jew. Great faith moves the heart of God to release the Spirit's power and Jesus' work. And Jesus was amazed at his great faith. Now, the second time Jesus is amazed when it comes to the faith of people happened in a situation in Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, he's going back and Jesus returns to his hometown. So he's in front of his family and his friends. And how we know that, he's in front of even his brothers and sisters. And you know that after Mary had Jesus, then she had a number of other kids. And we know that even their names. And they list them here. But here's what's amazing. His brother, I can hardly read here. There we go. James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And then his sisters. So we know that there's at least two more. So all of Jesus' siblings and all of his relatives, his hometown, they're gathering there. And he was absolutely amazed. Not at their faith, their great faith. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Their lack of faith. Jesus was utterly bewildered at people's spiritual dullness. They began to question who Jesus really was. You know, how could he do that? He's Mary's kid. We've seen this guy running around. He isn't something great, but he's just a person like we've watched this guy grow up. And he was amazed. Do you know why he was amazed? Because he was not expecting them to have such weak faith. So on the one hand, he was with the centurion, he was amazed because he didn't expect that guy to have such great faith. And then on the other hand, he's amazed at the lack of faith because he didn't expect those around him in his hometown to have such little faith. And a lack of faith limits God's response to release the Spirit's power and Jesus' work. Because you know what it says in this passage? For Jesus could not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Did you know that there can be a collective state of belief, not just an individual state of belief? In the community that Jesus grew up, there was unbelief marked that community, and therefore it even hindered Jesus from doing many miracles there. And sometimes, friends, I wonder, have we created and allowed a collective spirit of unbelief in our church? Where we don't see Jesus do things maybe at the rate or the depth to which we, you know, read about in the scripture. And collective faith is, or lack of, is built on the individual faith or lack of amongst the people that make up that community. So here's my question. When you read these two stories or you hear them, which story, which group, which individual, which marks you? If Jesus were to stand in front of you today, would he be amazed at your great faith? Or would he be amazed at your lack of faith? There have been seasons in my life in ministry where I had just got to be honest with you. I think Jesus would shake his head and just be utterly amazed, and his jaw would drop and say, Jerry, with all I have shown you, with all you have available to you, is that all the faith you have? And there are seasons in my life in ministry where I think Jesus actually, he would marvel and say, way to go, Jer. You trusted me in the face of, you know, all kinds of doubt and reasons not to trust me. My heart and my prayer for my life these days and for our church is that we would grow and strength and deepen our faith so that Jesus would be amazed at our faith. Because faith has the capacity to touch the heart of God, to release the power of the Holy Spirit and the works of Jesus. It just does. I'm not sure if I'm going to get to this later. Let me just lose it here for a sec. And so here's the thing. You know what? Forget that. I'll just go on, keep going. If you and I find ourselves in a state where God is amazed at our lack of faith, there's good news here. Because faith is dynamic. It's not static. It can change. For James, the eldest brother of Jesus, and his family, the Bible records that they thought he was nuts for a season. But somehow, throughout the life of Jesus and after the resurrection, James, the brother of Jesus, becomes a flaming follower. He ends up becoming the leader of the first church in Jerusalem. He ends up writing the gospel or the epistle of James. Faith can change. And that's good news for you and for me. We can grow it. We can expand it. We can strengthen it. We can deepen our trust. And so, just listen to these verses of Scripture. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we always ought to give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters. And it's right. Why? Because your faith is what? Growing abundantly, and the love of everyone, one of you for one another is increasing. Your faith is growing. We see he affirms it. The scripture teaches that faith can be growing. It happened in the church in Thessalonica. In Corinth, to the church, we don't boast beyond the limit of the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith, what?
Increases.
Our area of influence among you might be greatly enlarged. In the church in Rome, Paul speaking of Abraham, teaching them about Abraham and his faith, he said, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew what? Strong in his faith. And he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do as he promised. This is good news. That weak faith can become strong faith, that little faith can become great faith. God can increase our faith. He can strengthen us. So the big question is, how? How does that happen? This is what we're going to look at today. And how about you? It's good news, because I want to increase my faith. I want to strengthen my faith. I want to grow my faith. That is, I want to become a person that trusts increasingly more and more and more in the triune God. And that because of this trust, I want to respond even more with my entire life, responding to who he is and what he calls me to do. And I want that for each one of us in this room. Because the scripture says we walk by faith, not sight. The just, the righteous live by faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is absolutely critical to our life of faith, of our journey with Christ. So here's the question: how do I grow strong trust in God then? Now, this isn't going to be exhaustive. It's not. But these are key things, and I wrestled hard with how to say them. And it's also, it really tilts to what's our part in the equation. You see, it's always a partnership. God does his work, but we have a responsibility to partner with him or respond to him. And so what is the our part? This is what I want to talk about. How do we build strong trust in God? And here's the first thing I'd like to say this morning. I develop personal intimacy with God. That's the first thing. How do you grow strong trust? You got to develop personal intimacy with God. You see, faith is forged out of the context of knowing God. It's very difficult to trust someone you don't know. Is that not correct? We are good Canadians, and we're naturally very skeptical. And the same can be true of God. If you don't know him, how can you trust him? And it begins by receiving information about God initially from the scripture, but we get to know him more and more through that. One of the biggest ways we get to know God and develop personal intimacy with him is to know him in the scripture, reading his self-revelation. Because as you read about, you know, read the scripture, God reveals himself. He continues to do this. He shows himself. We learn about who he is. We learn about his ways, how he acts, what he does. And we learn about what he says, what he promises. The more and more we get to know God, the more and more we can trust him. God reveals himself. And the issue, here's the thing. You don't read this and don't have your quiet time in the morning so that you can check off your list that I read my Bible today. You read the scripture. Why? To know God. That's why we read the scripture. We read the scripture to know God. And then how can we respond to him in our lives? But growing deep faith begins with drawing near to God and deepening our personal connection with him. And so it's not just reading the scripture here. As we develop intimacy also by communicating with him. How warm and intimate. How's the depth of the relationship with a friend or a partner with whom you never talk? How's the friendship when your spouse or your kid only runs in and just demands things from you and rocks out and doesn't ask how you're doing, doesn't spend time with you, doesn't want to get to know you, only there to give me, give me, give me, and fast? How's the friendship? How's the relationship? Getting to know God and growing deep intimacy with God, deep connection with God, requires that we stop and listen. I love that song we sang this morning. I just want you in his presence. Now that's hard, especially for a number of us in the room with certain personality types. We love to do for God. Some of us were just very active. We want to ask him to pray and say our thing, ask him what he needs, and then go. But just wait upon God and listen. enjoy His presence, being open to the whispers of His Spirit. Yeah, it's not just word, it's prayer, especially listening prayer, waiting for Him. Cultivated intimacy through private worship of the triune God. Yeah, as we meet privately with Him and develop this intimacy of we really get to know Him. That's the first step. In Deep Faith, Rob Reamer says, many people make the mistake of giving up on their time alone with God when they're busy or get disappointed. And he says this, faith is not developed in disengagement. It's developed in pursuing God. So often what we want to do, or we get hurt, we get disappointed, God doesn't come through, someone's mean to us, something happens, we withdraw. And somehow we think that that's going to help us. We withdraw from meeting with God. We get busy and say, it can wait. We think we don't have time. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating this, but here's an example. The one who started JCPenney stores, remember them in the States? JCPenney, he said, I have so much to do today. I must spend the first 3 hours with God. And what's the first thing that leaves when we get busy? Time with God. And you know what happens when we do that? God can touch our time with eternity. Just like when you give your tithes and your offerings, somehow you give 10% or more, and somehow you end up with 10, like 10 minus 1 equals 10, 11, 12. It doesn't make sense. But the same thing happens with time. We touch our, you know, we if you will, tithe or honor God, for, we give Him our time, and He somehow touches it with eternity, and that is somehow things get done in the same amount of time or actually quicker. He prompts us and leads us and guides our decision-making through the day. And it's just amazing what happens. But when we feel like we're squeezed, sometimes we step away. But faith is not developed in disengagement. It's developed as we pursue God. In Colossians chapter 2 in the New Living, it says this, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots go down into Him. Into Him. And let your lives be built on Him. Then what will happen? Your faith will what? Grow strong. Your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. You see, it's engaging in getting to know Christ, God, Him, letting our roots of our spiritual life just sink into Him, building our lives on Him, and then our faith is going to grow strong. Rob continues, and he says that one of the great battles of nurturing our faith is to consistently look to Jesus instead of focusing on circumstances that seem to deny His power. It's a great battle to keep focused on Christ and to keep dwelling on Him and to keep engaging in, you know, building intimacy with Him, because everything else seems to deny who He is and His power and His capacity to help. So how do I grow strong trust in God? First, I develop personal intimacy with God. And as you get to know Him, you get to trust Him. Here's the second thing. I process painful brokenness in life. You're going, how does that help with faith? Glad you asked. Our pain and our brokenness hinders the development of faith and trust. It hinders spiritual maturity. Pete Scazzaro brought the great teaching to the church when he brought his whole philosophy and teaching called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And Pete said something that rocked my world, and I began to understand it. And I listened to him in person, and this was very, very true. It helped. It was part of my journey to back towards, you know, growing wholeness, increasing wholeness in my life. He said this. He says, it is impossible to be spiritually mature while being emotionally immature. We can't grow strong in trust in God with unprocessed, deep pain and hurt that cripples us. And part of our development of faith or trust in God Himself comes as we process our pains and our hurts and our disappointments in life. But I want to say you must wrestle honestly and honorably over the difficult things in your life or your past. There's a lot of disappointments. Some of us in this room know great, great disappointment. We know pain and hurt. We know grief. Oh, man, my heart goes out to our friends in Calgary today. Good friends, Rick and Ruth Ann Gilbertson. Their son was killed in a car accident yesterday. Young, married, leaving behind a wife. My heart just breaks. All of us know pain or grief. Some of you in the room know betrayal. Some of us, we know about the horror of abuse in all kinds of ways. Some of you know abandonment. And we all know failure. And for sure, we all know our own sin. If you are going to develop trust in God, friends, we must process these things in our life. In Proverbs 13, verse 12, the proverb writer says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." And I love how Eugene Peterson translates this in the Message. He says, "Unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick." It's true. Do you know in the scripture it says this so often? Do you know where belief comes from in the Bible? Where belief is the loci of belief? It's your heart. It's not your mind. It's your heart. That's where trust is. And when unrelenting disappointments and hurts and all kinds of things in life, they actually make the heart sick, unhealthy. And that's the place from which we trust God. So, friends, we must go there and wrestle with difficult issues to process them well under the healing ministry of Jesus and His Spirit and His Word. Rob Reamer says that unprocessed suffering leads to distrust. Here's just one example. You've experienced some deep pain in your life, and it hurts. And you're supposed to develop trust in God. How can I trust you? You let this happen to me. And if you don't process that well, you will be stuck in your faith right there. Regardless of how many Bible verses you know, regardless, you know, how spiritual you think you are stuck right there because fundamentally you cannot trust God because you feel He let that happen or He did that to you. Does that make sense? This is why you've got to work through and process some of our deepest suffering, our hardships, and our pain to deal with it openly and honestly, sometimes under the skillful hand of a Christian counselor or a very mature Christian and others who can walk alongside you and lead you to personal freedom. Because what happens when we actually work through these things? Is it softens our heart to God and we become sensitized in our spirit to the Holy Spirit again. We would welcome God's presence and we become he becomes accessible again to us. But once there's hurt there and it's not processed, a wall is up. And as much as we want to, we can't get to know God and trust him well. So friends, it's the deep, the inner stuff where the work of God does its work. In Ephesians, it's one of the prayers that Paul prays. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. And in other versions, it says that he would strengthen you in your inner person by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your heart, right in your heart, right where faith begins to develop as you trust him. Then your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. You see, we must receive the healing help and power deep in the inner person, in our soul, in our heart, and process all of those deep pains and struggles down there. Because when we do, oh, Christ will make his home in our heart and we can trust him. And God's love will keep you strong. Can you, let's say this first one. How do we grow strong? First, I develop, can you say it with me? I develop personal intimacy with God. Secondly, I process painful brokenness in life. Now, some of that painful brokenness, can I also say, some of that pain can be deep, haunting questions. Some of you can't get past that because it connects with you, who you are deep inside of you, because there are deep questions that you've never had answered or never been feel like you could ask them about God. And part of your journey to trust him is going to process that and get answers to very deep questions. And that's what's one of the beauty of Alpha. You can begin to unlock that. There's some many, many deep questions that are answered at Alpha that you talk about and can process. And here's the third one. Say it with me. I pursue experiential encounters of God. I pursue experiential encounters of God. You see, I have to actually work towards experiencing him. To be, you know, have these encounters with God where I experience him. And it takes stepping out in faith and trusting God. Personal encounters of God, experiencing his work, where he shows his faithfulness. I remember I shared very briefly, but I just want to reflect on it again. It was that time I was very, very discouraged in the life of the church and the land and all that. And this is almost 4 years ago, and I was wrestling so deeply. And I was sitting on my deck on a Saturday morning. I said, God, I need a word from you. And I sat in silence, waited upon God. And about 3 or 4 minutes later, these words came to my spirit very, very strongly. Not an audible voice, but just very, very spirit. They just burned on my heart. Trust me. I wrote it down. And then Sunday night, I got that email from Peter Blundell at St. John's Anglican. He said, Jerry, tonight we were praying for Summit, for you, this whole thing with your land. And some of our people, we think we have a word for you. Psalm 37. So I looked up my Bible, verses 3 to 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him, and he will act. And I'll tell you, what happened in my soul when that happened? I had a personal encounter that God spoke, yes, on my deck, but when he confirmed that through another church, oh, this encounter with God, the Holy Spirit just spoke right into my spirit, and it just gave me trust again, faith. Sometimes we have to take risks of faith where we're experiencing Him coming through when He empowers us or He leads us. I've shared stories in my witness with my friends, Mike, or when I got to serve, I remember getting asked to serve in the board of directors of the Christian Mission Alliance in Canada. I'd never done that. I had never sat there. I said, God, I need your help. I've never done this. You know me in administration. Oh, and but I trusted Him and said yes. And it was a tremendous six-year run. I learned so much, had the opportunity to speak into the life of the denomination. And God did things in me. How about when you have opportunity to give and to increase the resources that you give to Kingdom Initiative? You take risks, and then you experience God come through with His promises to care for your needs. How about when you seek reconciliation? Do you know part of the reason I went to Cambodia this last time? Part of the reason was I heard that there was a national leader in that church that somehow was at odds with me. So part of the reason I went there was to meet with him across the table face to face. And part of that faith was to go and address issues with him and say, I was sorry. It was a wonderful time. He asked me to preach in his church whenever I get back. And I'm just so thankful to God for, you know, these little things. You take steps of faith and you trust Him and He comes through. So you see, pursue experiential encounters. Sometimes we just feel like somehow there's it's only, you know, a cognitive thing in our mind. No, we must seek experience with Him. I remember I got asked, I've done this before, but for some reason, this past time I got asked to do this, it was to share in the Alpha weekend. There was something, it was, you know, God was in this whole thing from prompting the leaders to say, Jerry, I think we need to just change direction here, and on the spot just did it, and I just sensed, okay, so I just threw up a stealth prayer and asked God, and I sort of, some sort of anointing came on in those few minutes, like, that was palpable to me, and God came through. And I learned I could trust Him. I remember why would I spend my fly out to Southland, to Steinbach, Manitoba? Well, part of it was to pursue an experiential encounter with God. And did it ever happen? Being overwhelmed by a sense of love and the personal presence of God as words were spoken over me by people who did not even know me, that were absolutely bang on, like they were watching my life for the last year. And what happens when you have these encounters with God and you then reflect on them and remember them, and it builds faith to move forward with God. You know, Paul talked about this. He says, I want to know Him. And there's five different Greek words that we translate know. But the one he uses is, I want to know by personal experience. I want to know Him. He's not using the word to know by being taught. He's not using the word to know by observation. He's not using these types of words. He uses the one that is personal, experiential knowledge of. That's what he says. He uses that one almost all the time in Paul's letters when he says that I might know Him. It's experience. And we have allowed, especially those of us in the room over 50, we have allowed, you know, the modern mindset and enlightenment to hijack experience with God. And somehow it's second rate. Yes, I get all the warnings about feelings, don't get me wrong. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is challenging his disciples because he says this, Jesus, aware of what they were talking about, said, Oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000? And how many baskets you gathered up after? Like, this is just maybe weeks maybe months, after they had watched God take five little loaves of fish, and or two fish and five loaves, and just miraculously it kept multiplying right in front of their eyes, and they fed 5,000 men plus women and children, and when it was all done, collected 12 baskets full. And here they were at a situation where they're in front of another group of people, and they're hungry, and they're saying, let's just send them all. We have nothing to feed them with. What are we going to do? And Jesus is like, you of little faith, don't you remember? Some of you, it's so easy to chastise the disciples, but let me ask you, you've had seasons in your life where you trusted God and he came through for you. You had seasons in your life where you gave sacrificially of your resources and God came through to you. And now here you sit, and Jesus says, you just don't. You've stopped. You've lessened. And it's like Jesus saying, don't you remember? I took care of you. Some of you used to be engaged in sharing Christ with others. You trusted God was going to work through you to actually help a person get transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, to see their lives transformed. And now you're scared. You don't think God will do that. And Jesus stands before you and says, don't you remember? When you didn't know what to say, I gave you things to say. So our experiences of God, when we reflect on them, help build faith. So not only do I develop personal intimacy, not only do I process brokenness, not only do I pursue encounters, experiences of God, last, I seek motivational inspiration from others. That's how you build faith. Motivational inspiration. We need that kind of encouragement. We need inspiration because the life of faith is hard. God designed it that we wouldn't do it alone. Now, what kind of inspirational resources do we have? Well, we come back to the Bible, but in specifically, we read stories. They're full of instances of people. Noah. Can you imagine Noah? Never ever seeing rain before or an ark, he's got to build an ark. Well, what's an ark? Abraham, God says, leave this country. Yeah, but where am I going? Just leave. Yeah, but to where? Just leave. And he does. And some of you want to grow in faith, Jesus says, leave where you are. Leave this plateau. Leave the sphere of your known. Leave. But how? Just leave. Step out. Moses, Rahab, Joshua. You read these stories of Joshua and Caleb. They go into a land to check it out where they're going. They come back and go, this is awesome. Look at all this fruit. This is amazing. It's flowing with, we got to get this. God's given us this land. Let's do it. And 10 others who saw the very same things come back and go, oh man, there's giants there. We can't do this. And the people listen to the naysayers. You see, you need faith feeders in your life. People are going to inspire you. And some of it comes through reading the stories. Ruth, Esther, David, Isaiah, Peter, John, Paul, Timothy, James. Yes, we meditate on Scripture, and that inspires faith. How about this? Reading books and biographies. I've been so challenged, and I've been reading some of these books, old ones and new ones. The Dynamic of Faith, Paget Wilkes. The Triumphs of Faith, G. Campbell Morgan. Rob Reamer, Deep Faith. Hard Places in the Way of Faith, A.B. Simpson. I mean, you just read books about faith. It helps you understand it and grow it. Then you read biographies or autobiographies. One of our women in our small group, she's reading a book about George Mueller and all the answers to prayer and the faith he exhibited in running that orphanage in the U.K. We read books and we hear testimonies. You hear stories of what God's been doing. You know, we hear them here in our church. I'll never forget. You know, I'm just sorry, I don't want to embarrass you, but man, you know, Mariska, hearing your story just filled my soul with hope and trust in God. It just does that. And hearing stories from other places, through videos, all these things, they fuel faith. We also need to connect with believers. These are friends that will encourage us and challenge us and exhort us and bless us. I had the joy the other night, Thursday night, I got a friend call from friends from Kelowna who were in John Lorraine Bergen working with Church Renewal, and they called and they said, can we have dinner? And so we went and had dinner, and I just heard inspiring stories of faith from other pastors. They spoke words over me, and they believed in me, and they encouraged me, and we sat there in Turtle Jacks as they prayed over me. We need brothers and sisters that are going to help fuel faith. You see, there's inspiration we need. That's why Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, Paul says, for I long to visit you so that I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by your faith. There's this thing that happens when people get together of faith, and they inspire us. We need this kind of inspirational motivation. And then finally, gathering together with the church, getting together with the family of God as we gather corporately, we build faith together through word, through song, as we admonish and exhort and teach one another through song, through fellowship, through communion, all of these things. We gather together for edification. That's why the book of Hebrews, you are challenged to let's hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let's think of ways to motivate each other, spur one another on. Let's not neglect our meeting together as some people do or some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is near. So, friends, how do we grow strong? Well, let's say these with me as we close. I develop personal intimacy with God. I process painful brokenness in life. I pursue experiential encounters of God. And I seek motivational inspiration from others. This is how, together, we can learn to trust and live more fearlessly. Next week, we're going to look at some startling words of Jesus as we continue our series, and we're going to look at how then do we actually exercise, put it into practice to show that we are fearless in our trust of God for kingdom breakthroughs. And there's so much more of God to know, and there's so many greater works for us to do, but they will go unexperienced unless we develop and exercise deep faith. Let me pray for us. Our Father in heaven, I ask that you will help us to apply what we've heard today. God, help us to make time for you, to get to know you. I pray also, Father, that we would process those pains, those hurts, the questions in honorable ways, not just sit in the malaise of doubt and ignoring them. It just keeps walls around our hearts. And I pray, God, that you would do that. Jesus, we long for you. Help us to experience you and to pursue those kinds of experiences where you reveal yourself strong and trustworthy. Now I ask you, Father, that you would help us to gather around us those kinds of people and resources that will actually inspire us. They help motivate trust in you. So to that end, deepen our faith. Create Summit, in Summit, an atmosphere that trusts you. And I ask you would do this in your name, I pray. Amen.